Matthew chapter 27, verses 57 to 61. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was himself a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. He then rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. Be encouraged today that God always blesses the public reading of his inspired and infallible word.
This morning we come to a hill that does not ask our permission. And we come to a cross that does not flatter our strength. We come to a moment where heaven does not rush. And yet heaven is doing its deepest work. Good Friday is not loud. It is not showy. It is not the triumphal entries waving branches. And it is not the resurrection morning's victory thunder. Good Friday is slow, steady, demonstrating the faithful love of God, holding its ground. And there is one sentence from Luke's gospel that hangs in the air like iron, like smoke, like an accusation. As Jesus is dying, Luke 23:39 says, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. Save yourself and save us. That is the human prayer when pain has its hands around our throats. That is the cry that we each know. Lord, get me out. Make it stop. Change it now. Fix it fast. And if we are honest, very honest, we've all prayed the prayer of that criminal. Not because we are cruel, but because we are suffering. Not because we hate Jesus, but because we can't see a way through. Aren't you the Messiah? Then do something Messiah-like. Prove it. Perform it. Pull off a miracle immediately. Save yourself and save us. And here is the ache of Good Friday. Jesus does not answer the way pain demands. He does not come down. He does not tear the nails out with a flex of divine muscle. He does not silence mockery with angel armies. He stays. And that staying, beloved, is our saving. At the cross, salvation is understood in real time. One criminal wants escape. The other wants mercy. One wants a door out of suffering. The other wants a door into grace. One speaks from bitterness. Save us! The other speaks from surrender. Remember me. And Jesus, oh, Jesus, he does something more astonishing than coming down. He forgives up. He loves through. He saves by staying. There are at least two ways the world asks for rescue. Save me from this. From this pain, from this mess, from this consequence, from this shame, from this unbearable tension in my chest that makes prayer feel like breathing through cloth. Save me from this. Or save me in this. In my failure. In my unraveling. In my last breath. In my long night. In my story that feels too broken to redeem. Save me in this. And Good Friday teaches us that Jesus is not a magician. He is a savior. And sometimes the difference is the cross. Let me name what the criminal is really saying in Luke 23:39. If you are who you say you are, you shouldn't be here. If you are Messiah, you should not be bleeding. If you are the king, you should not be kneeled. That's the logic of the world. Power avoids pain. Strength dodges weakness. Glory refuses humiliation. But the gospel turns the world inside out. Because Jesus does not prove his messiahship by avoiding suffering. He reveals his messiahship by entering it. He is not less king because he is crowned with thorns. He is not less holy because he is numbered with transgressors. He is not less God because he is thirsty. No, he is God precisely here in self-giving love. Some of us came this morning carrying a private Luke 23:39. You didn't say it out loud, of course. You dressed well, you smiled, you sang. But inside you have been praying, Jesus, if you're really with me, why hasn't it changed? If you're really good, why am I still grieving? If you are really powerful, why is my anxiety still here at 3 a.m? Beloved KTLCC family and guests, hear me. And hear me carefully. Our questions never disqualify us from the cross. They bring us closer to it. Because the cross is where Jesus meets us. Not in the tidy answers, but in the faithful presence. 11 years ago today, the last time Good Friday fell on the 3rd of April, I was about to preach to 8,000 people at an event called Spring Harvest. And my telephone rang. And it was my sister to tell me that my brother-in-law had taken his own life 20 weeks after his son and her son had taken his own life. So I preached. And then I left. And I arrived in Belfast and sat with my dying brother-in-law and held my sister's hand on Good Friday, the 3rd of April, 2015. The day after, I woke to find a note from my wife on my pillow. She'd taken ill during the night and didn't want to waken me because I had had a heavy flu and she'd gone to hospital. She ended up in a high dependency unit. That morning, the 4th of April, 2015, my mother was in intensive care in one hospital in Belfast. My brother was in intensive care in a second hotel, a hospital in Belfast. My wife was in a high dependency unit in the third hospital in Belfast. And my brother-in-law was dead in the fourth and final hospital in Belfast. And I walked out of the door of my sister's home and I said to God, which one do I go to first? No extraction. No removal from the pain. He doesn't always save us by extraction. He saves us by substitution. Not by getting you out of trouble, but by taking trouble into himself and by breaking its final claim. The criminal says, save yourself and us, but Jesus cannot save us that way. Because if Jesus saves himself, he cannot save us. If he comes down, we stay trapped. If he avoids the cross, then we inherit our own cross. So he stays. Not because the nails are strong, but because love is. He saves us not by refusing the cup, but by drinking to the very bottom of it. This is the mystery of Good Friday. The Messiah saves by not saving himself. And at the cross, Jesus is doing a deeper rescue than anyone expects. They want him to save them from Rome. He saves them from sin. They want him to end Friday, but he is preparing Sunday. They want relief. He gives redemption. They want a shortened suffering. He gives a finished salvation. We begged for a ladder, and he gave us a lamb. We pleaded for spectacle, and he chose the slow slam of mercy on iron, of love taking the blame, not saving himself so that he could save us. We know another voice speaks that day, the other criminal, bruised by consequence and softened by proximity to Jesus. He doesn't demand a miracle. He offers a confession. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replies, not with theory, but with a promise. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Don't miss this tenderness. A dying man asks to be remembered, and the living God says, I will not only remember you, I will bring you with me. This is not salvation by performance. This is salvation by proximity. The criminal has no time to make it right. He has no time to pay it back. He has no time to fix his reputation or rewrite his history or prove his sincerity. All that he has is bruised faith and a crucified Christ. And Jesus says that is enough. Not because his faith is strong, but because the Savior is strong. So what did Jesus save us from, if not from immediate pain? He saved us from the tyranny of sin. The power that bends our loves and fractures our worship and makes us think that we can survive without God. He saved us from the final word of death because death swallowed him and found itself choking on Resurrection Sunday. He saved us from shame, not by pretending we were never broken, but by carrying our brokenness in his body. He saved us from isolation because God did not remain distant. God came close enough to bleed. He saved us not by canceling suffering in an instant, but by canceling condemnation forever. And this is why communion matters this morning, because the whole table tells the truth that the cross accomplished. I wanted you to end my Friday, but you chose to enter it. I begged for a shortcut, but you carved a path through it. I asked for the quick fix, but you gave me the deep cure. I wanted you safe, and you chose me saved instead. So as we come to the bread and to the cup, we do not come pretending. We come like those at the cross, some confused, some grieving, some ashamed, some furious, some half believing, some barely standing. But we come because communion is not a reward for the strong, it is food for the weak. The bread does not say you have it all together. The bread says his body was given for you. The cup does not say you were always faithful. The cup says his blood was poured out for you. And Good Friday is the day that we remember. The cross is not God's hesitation. It is God's decision. A decision to love us to the end, to forgive us at a cost, to save us. Not the way the criminals imagined, but the way the Father intended, by the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. So if you are carrying Luke 23:39 this morning, Jesus, why not now? Why not this way? Why not come down? Bring that honest ache to the table, because the Jesus who stayed on the cross can handle your questions. And the Jesus who saved you by staying will not abandon you now. Good Friday whispers what suffering cannot see, that love is doing something deeper than relief, that God is nearer than you feel, that salvation is not always the removal of the cross, it is sometimes the redemption of it. And if you can only pray one prayer with me today, let it be the prayer of the softened heart. Jesus, remember me. And hear him answer, not as a distant God, but as a crucified Savior. Today, you will be with me. Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have often wanted you to save us in the quickest way, to pull us down from our pain, to silence our fear, to prove your power on our terms. But today, we behold you. The Savior who did not save himself so that he would save us. Meet us again at your cross. We live in the forgiveness of our sin, in the healing of our shame, the strengthening of our weary hearts, the comfort of our grieving lives, the steadying of our doubting spirits. Today, draw those that are far off close to you once again. And as we receive this bread and this cup, let us receive again the truth that your body was given for us, your blood was poured out for us, that love has completed, that salvation has accomplished, that mercy was made flesh in your holy name, Jesus. We come not because we are worthy, but because he is willing. We come not because we are whole, but because his wounds have made a way. This is the body of Christ. Given for you. Eat the bread with thankfulness in your heart, remembering the cost of Calvary and the broken body of Jesus that was bruised for you and for me. This is the cup that represents the blood of the Lord Jesus that was shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink with thankfulness in your heart, because his blood is sufficient for our need, in Jesus' name.